Okay, we're gonna move on to public requests. We got Clamath National Forest, I assume the Shasta Trinity Forest? Or is it just the Shasta Trinity?
It's both.
Good. Whatever you do, don't talk about homelessness in the National Forest. It'll be a separate subject and an agendized item.
What?
Okay, you can if you want. You can be here for a while.
I've been warned.
I don't know.
It's pretty gay there.
Seasonal.
Yeah.
I do need one for the clerk's file, for sure.
I'm going to just do this. Thanks.
Okay, who would like to start?
I will start. Thank you. So, good morning, Chairperson and members of the board. Thank you for having us here. I'm Rachel Berkey. I'm the Forest Supervisor for the Shasta Trinity National Forest, and I'm here with my district ranger, Carolyn Napper, as well as the Deputy Forest Supervisor for the Klamath National Forest, Chris Sexton, and we will be jointly giving you a bit of a presentation on some of the latest activities of both forests that sit in Siskiyou County. So thank you so much for having us here. We will start with our little PowerPoint presentation here. Perfect. Thank you. I wanted to talk a little bit about the wildfire crisis strategy and some of the most recent activities that are happening in the forests of late. So I will start out by giving a little bit of background to the board about the latest initiative that has come out from the Chief of the Forest Service. In January of 2022, the Forest Service rolled out its wildfire crisis strategy. The wildfire crisis strategy was a recognition of the contribution of the overgrowth of national forests to larger and longer duration fires. And it laid out sort of steps that the agency was going to be taking over a 10-year time frame in an attempt to really make a paradigm shift in how we manage the forests and the fuels in the forests so that we can increase forest health and resilience and also reduce risk to communities. And those were kind of the two pillars. If we go to the next slide here. Thank you. So to do this or accomplish this mission back in January of 2022, the strategy laid out kind of two major tenets. The first was going to be a scale transformation. We were going to need to look at the problem in a larger swath way, right? Not with tiny little projects, but much more at a landscape scale and at a pace that keeps up with the growth that we're seeing in the forests. And the second kind of tenet of this strategy was that we were told to look at science-based approaches to forest management and make certain that we are doing the right treatments in the right areas to have the greatest effect on risk reduction. And so in order to kind of accomplish what the goals of the strategy were, it laid out sort of these two paths that we needed to be walking along. We will talk a little bit about the monetary investment in the next slide, so if you could click us here. All right, so in a nice bit of luck, the executive branch initiative actually coincided with the legislative branch's choice to fund that initiative. And shortly after the Forest Service rolled out this wildfire crisis strategy, Congress passed a couple of major pieces of legislation that funded at least the first few years of this strategy. So the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law and the Inflation Reduction Act. They focused on slightly different angles. One was reducing fuels, and one was risk reduction around the wildland urban interface, or around the communities that sit within our forest footprints. And so these two funding rounds rolled out. And what the Forest Service did is, instead of actually distributing those funds across the country or across the forests equally, they actually opted to distribute the funds by particular landscapes, which are just footprints that the different regions submitted, were areas that had the highest risk of fire and that had the opportunities to do treatments to reduce that risk. Next slide. So these proposals that the forests and the regions submitted were then looked at the Washington office using the factors that are listed on the left side of the slide here. So community risk, the scale, could we scale up in this arena? How much collaboration and partnership do we have in the area? And you can see some of the other factors as well that that the national office considered when they were choosing which landscapes to fund. Later in 2022, the national office initially announced there were 10 landscapes, mostly across the western United States, in sort of high-risk firefighter footprints that were going to get the first round of funding from the BIL and IRA monies that were handed to the Forest Service. And California had two landscapes in that round, neither of which sat in Siskiyou County or on either one of our forests. But then in the second year of this implementation of this strategy, the National Office did a second round of submissions for landscape monies. And we here up in the North State were the recipients of two different pots of funds for two different landscapes. On the Shasta Trinity and the Six Rivers, we share a Trinity landscape. And on the Shasta Trinity, the Six Rivers, the Modoc, the Fremont-Wainema up in Oregon, and who am I missing? The Klamath, of course, right where we are, we were the recipients of some money for the Klamath River Basin landscape. That announcement of those two landscapes, and if you wouldn't mind flipping us forward one more, that announcement of those two expanded landscapes came out in January. The funding for the first year of work on those landscapes started rolling out in late February, early March. We're at the very, very early stages of sort of piecing together the long-term strategic plans for these landscapes. In fiscal 23, we were focused very much on what we could finish on the ground that we had gotten started and couldn't do because we didn't have the funding, and this allowed us to move some of these projects forward quite quickly. And we were also focused on getting some of this money obligated into contracts, grants, and agreements so that we can make a difference on the landscapes moving forward. And we needed to move very quickly in fiscal 23. We are hopeful in out years, as we apply for additional funds for our landscapes, that we can start looking at new projects that cover bigger footprints and that are squarely in alignment with the wildfire crisis strategy. So our national office has come up with a series of these publications that talk a little bit about the little overview that I just gave you. The links are live and can be accessed online through this PowerPoint presentation, but we did want to make sure that you were aware of the written products that were out there that sort of gave this background and described where we came from and how we got here today. Next slide, please. I will now hand it over to Chris from the Klamath, and she can talk a little bit more specifically about our Klamath River Basin landscape.
I'm not as articulate as Rachel, but the publications that were on the previous slide are really pretty fabulous publications, and they're not lengthy, and they're worth taking a look at if you're interested in the not just the science behind what we're doing, but also the strategy of how we're trying to change the landscape over 10 years. But I'll talk about the Klamath River Basin, because the Klamath National Forest is entirely in the Klamath River Basin, so it's pretty near and dear to me. There's five forests that are in part of this landscape, and one of those forests is the Fremont Wynina in Oregon, so it's kind of an exciting opportunity for us to work across a lot of different boundaries. It's a landscape, and I think it's the only landscape of the 22 that, 21 landscapes that Rachel referred to that are from the headwaters to the ocean. But there's the Klamath, the Six Rivers, the Modoc has a little piece of this, the Fremont Wynina in Oregon, and the Shasta Trinity. And we've got, we're emphasizing in 23 work that we already had under environmental analysis and ready to go. I don't really want to say shovel ready, but as shovel ready as we could be. That's what we're emphasizing this year. And next year we're going to try and expand into, next slide would probably be good. Just because I can see the slides doesn't mean you guys can see the slides. Expand into some stuff that we're still have under the planning phases. And we're really concentrating on vegetation and fuels management. We are working on tribal engagement on all the forests. And there's actually quite a few tribes that we're working with. Fuels reduction, both in the vegetation management aspect, but also in prescribed fire and because we've got a little extra funding, we've got some expanded tools that we haven't been able to efficiently and effectively utilize in the past. And then we're also looking at out-year planning so that we can continue this effort on. The map on the far right that says 2023 up to 52,000 acres, I think that's our number's a little bit lower than that. Now that we've gotten through contracting and grants and agreements, but it's still a substantial increase over what we've been doing in the past. So specifically, you can see by forests the different efforts that we're undertaking. I will speak about the Klamath and a little bit about the Shasta Trinity, and then I think Carolyn will talk a little bit more about what's going on in the Shasta Trinity. On the Klamath National Forest, which is all around us, the JUST project has been, it's a fuels reduction, landscape level fuels reduction project that's been planned for quite some time, and it's because a lot of it is not commercial. We've been, chipping away at it, but we've got an opportunity now to do a big chunk of it. So that's on the, it's in the Fort Jones and the Scott River area. San Scott Burnesis, which is something that we try to do every year, is to put some money towards contracts so that when we have burn windows like we had the last couple of days, and I think you guys did too, we can get some help in to do some prescribed fire. And so we'll put some money towards that. The landscape scale fuels California Deer Association. We've got a great partnership with California Deer Association, who's doing work all over the North State, but and not just on the west side of the Klamath National Forest, but on the east side. They're doing a lot of work in the fire footprints from the 2021 fires in the Gooseneck, fuels reduction, restoration. We're moving into planting, so we put some money towards that really important partnership, and then obviously out-year planning so that we keep going. You can see the other forests there, and I would be remiss not to mention that all three of those, well, two of those forests, the Modoc and the Six Rivers, are in situ. Siskiyou County, and so they contribute to what we're doing here in the county. And then the Shasta Trinity, and I'll let Carolyn speak to that. One more slide. What's that? Yeah, you can talk to it now.
Okay.
Thanks. So thank you, Chris.
Since I brought it up.
Yeah, so for the Bolum and McBride fuels reduction, the piece of the puzzle that the Shasta Trinity has in the Klamath River Basin is fortunately right in the lava fire footprint, so that's really great. So we just put together a contract, and it's out for bid now for 1,500 acres of mastication, so we can get all those plantations that burned up in the 2021 lava fire masticated and start reforestation efforts next year. As you move further east towards the Military Pass Road, we have many plantations that did not burn, and so we're going to be thinning up to 2,100 acres plantations out there through this funding, both this year and next year. So we're really happy to get that process moving again, especially because of the mill fire last year. I had quite a bit of concern about the community of Lake Shastina with all the standing dead on the lava footprint. So we're hoping that we'll be able to get that down in, you know, starting as soon as the contract is awarded.
Yeah, I think you're up next too. So just talking a little bit about the next year, it looks like the funding is pretty steady for the next year. We're really looking at having a strategy for the next 10 years that we can chip away at. Maybe chip is not the right word, because we've got more money than we've had for a long time, so maybe we can chunk away at it. And we're really, some of the changes is, you know, the accountability, the emphasis on science, the availability of science to us is really astonishing right now. You know, the science is out there, but it's not always easy to grasp and bring home to folks. And a lot of collaboration. I'll speak for myself. I'm working with partners like I've never worked with partners before, and it's a variety of partners. And so really, it's an all-in kind of strategy that's different than I've experienced in my career. And so I'm really hopeful that this is going to make some changes on the landscape and make some changes for our communities. And the next two slides really are for Carol to talk about, you know, things that she's doing that are specific to the tools that we have. So let's talk about that.
Okay. So thank goodness for some forward thinking a couple years back with a master stewardship agreement, and I want to acknowledge the cat herding that Elizabeth Nielsen is doing in trying to get us all to a meeting. And again, my thanks to Supervisor Kopsev and Hogg for, you know, reaching out and just engaging in some of the discussions, because we have a lot of work to do, and we're trying to figure out how are we going to get this all done. And as Chris mentioned, you know, a lot of it comes through partnerships and grants and agreements. And we have this tool with the county, and so we would like to pursue it to see how we can work together. So we are trying to look at the different kinds of projects that are upcoming. We have survey work for thinning projects, road work, road brushing, and of course, tons of fuels reduction we'd like to implement. So we see that the master stewardship agreement through developing SPAs would be an effective tool to help us move that needle forward and start to make a difference. A lot of the areas, you know, we've really been focused on getting our 2023 program out. We have draft information for our 24, and so that's why, you know, we'd like to sit down and talk about how we might be able to do that. But this is, you know, we're looking out in the next several years, you know, hopefully 10 years, to really make some changes here in Siskiyou County and on the National Forest. So I think the Master Stewardship Agreement is a great opportunity. And we can move to the next slide, please. The other tool is Sierra Nevada Conservancy, and just want to kind of report back to the board. This has been just, you know, outstanding to be able to work with the Sierra Nevada Conservancy now in our county. They've made a big difference. I do say that we're really fortunate that we have Thule Potts as our representative, from Mount Shasta area, somebody we can reach out to. But we've had over $2 million received for fuels reduction through that.
So
and
real quick, Carol,
yes.
Not only that, it's over in excess of $5 million to Siskiyou County. Since,
okay,
and
great.
We've only been in this for a short window.
Yeah, it's
so
been
thank
a
you
year.
For mentioning Thule Potts, because she's on my to-do list to buy her a cup of coffee, for God's sake.
At least, yeah, with a shot of espresso or something. So they funded Eastside Restoration, a project that we're working with Cal Deer Association on for 200 acres of fuel reduction. Our Lower McLeod project was over $2.2 million, and we're starting on that. And then the Slate Creek project, which is down in Shasta County, is from the 2018 fires. And it was an area that we put up for a timber sale. There were no purchasers. It's just been standing dead. And so finally, we were able to put it into this, get some funding, and do service work to get those hazards down so that we could have safe ingress and egress into some of these areas. So I did see that there are other funding opportunities that are coming out. They have a request for proposals now for thinning and fuels reduction. And I know Supervisor Kopseff and Supervisor Valenzuela have been supportive of our South Fork Sacramento project that is not in the priority landscape, but it is in a high-risk fire shed, as we know. And so this would be a tool for us to go after additional funding to get that work, start to get that work implemented on that landscape scale. And also we've just been supportive of, you know, it's not only fuels reduction, but we have a big recreation base in our communities. And so we've been working with the Siskiyou Outdoor Recreation Alliance, trying to support them. And they've received funding for a recreation planning grant. So that's really great. So I'll turn back over to Rachel.
Thank you, Carolyn. Next slide, please. Okay, while we were here, we wanted to give you some quick updates on some road issues, both on the Klamath and the Shasta Trinity, so that we can let you know what's going on with some of these pieces that may have come to your attention. The first is the Ski Park Highway. We recognize that that road definitely needs a little attention and some restoration work, and we have submitted that project for funding in the last couple of months. We've submitted that to the National Office for Funding in Fiscal 25 so that we can actually get some work going on that road. It's a very important road, I know, to the community and absolutely to the forest. Whether or not that request gets funded, we will be able to tell probably sometime this summer. So every request does not necessarily get funded. And unfortunately, very unfortunately, the BILIRA funding does not necessarily cover this type of infrastructure. So while we have money coming in that's circumscribed for particular activities on the forest, that money can't then be reprogrammed for this kind of road maintenance. So we're having to look at other avenues to be able to get that funding. Similarly, the Esperanza Road has also been a topic of late, and so that road is a road that allows ingress and egress to a particular community in Siskiyou County, and had for quite a while an alternate avenue out of the community along Pilgrim Creek Road, a road that is now awash in mud from Mount Shasta. All of our in-house experts, as well as the USGS experts we've been working with, are telling us that mud is going to continue to come down, that area continues to be unsafe for transit and travel. We are looking at establishing some permanent monitors so that we can actually have some ahead of time notice when the mud flows are going to happen. We had some experimental monitors out there a couple of years ago, and they worked very well, so we are hopeful that we'll be able to find a way to make that a permanent fixture on the mountain. And in fact, not just along Pilgrim Creek Road, but along several other major thoroughfares as well, the mud is predicted to continue to come. So with a knowledge of that issue to be somewhat at least permanent into the foreseeable future, we are looking at ways that Esperanza Road may be improved. We have some ability even in this moment to put down some additional gravel on that road, as well as install some additional culverts for drainage. And along with the ski park highway, we have submitted the project for funding for fiscal 24 from the agency so that we can do a little bit more major road improvement on that road. So that has been a focus for the district and the forest in this last year. The last road I wanted to mention was Everett Memorial Highway. We have included an increase in our recreation fees. We are proposing that some of our different rec sites across the Shasta Trinity National Forest have a little bit of a nibble up in their public fee structure. That is currently getting processed through the national office and also awaiting the national development of a recreation advisory committee before we move forward with that. As soon as we do get the go-ahead, however, with our fee proposal and increase, which incidentally was out for public comment a couple of years ago, we are hopeful that we may have some additional money that we can then provide to the county for snow removal along Everett Memorial. And that the mechanism by which we could be doing that kind of transfer would be a supplemental project agreement off of our master stewardship agreement that Carolyn just mentioned. So
can I interrupt you just real quick? Just uh-huh. Because it's a topic near and dear to Supervisor Kopseth and I. We purchased the road department, Mr. Deedy behind there, $475,000 for a new rotary snowplow, and we've on Everett Memorial alone, 300,000 in excess of snowplow dollars.
Oh my goodness.
So, I mean, so, if you, and you know, and recreation is the key component there.
Absolutely.
And I'm glad the city manager is here, because I hope he conveys that to my fellow council members, and there's more to come out of that whole subject, so.
And we still got complaints that it wasn't open enough.
Yes.
But we're making progress.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Excellent.
So I just wanted to convey that.
Thank you. All right, I will hand the next half of this slide off to Chris.
I only have one road to talk to you guys about, and that's Grayback Road.
And just as important, I might say.
Just as important, yes, absolutely. And I don't think I have anything new to tell you guys about the Grayback Road. I will tell you that we finished the hazard tree mitigation on the Grayback itself after the Slater fire, and that the roads off of the Grayback in the Slater fire footprint are under contract now. And that was took a while to get that done. We have repaired all the road damage from the Slater fire. I have heard, and I'll just tell you I've heard this, that there's a sinkhole that folks are concerned about, and as best I can suss out, and I haven't been out to see it. That's on the Oregon side, which is not to not to throw the problem to somebody else, but I haven't seen it, and I've talked to the ranger up there, and we're aware that there's some concerns about that one particular sinkhole. We have not done storm damage assessment on the Slater on Grayback yet. We've done a couple. We've done one flight. We've emphasized the McKinney, and haven't gotten up the Grayback Road, but it's still under snow. Let's see. What else do I want to tell you about? It's for the Forest Service. It's a level 5 road, which is the highest level of maintenance and that we have, but it's still not something that we maintain year-round opening
I know that there's concern about ingress and egress, and I feel like, you know, that mitigating the hazard tree is a big step in that direction, but also and repairing the surface after the Slater fire is helpful in that, but I know that there's still questions and concerns about that as ingress and egress. So, and then, unless you guys have, then let's talk about fire staffing.
We're going to have questions for sure. So.
I suspected you might have a few questions. But we'll talk about fire staffing. I can talk about the Klamath first. You guys, next slide, yeah. I mean, you can see, I don't need to read through everything. I'm just going to talk about the helicopter.
Okay.
Okay.
You want me to go first?
Okay.
So I wanted to give you a little bit of an update on where we're at for the upcoming fire season, and then also a little bit, we will carry forward with a little bit of information about how severe we are predicting the fire season to be, just to get you some situational awareness about what may be coming up. From the Shasta Trinity side, we have done a pretty good job this year at staffing up our Shasta McLeod Management Unit. We're 90% staffed. That's higher than we have been in the immediate past, and we've got 5 engines that are going to be on for 5 days in a row, and an engine that can be 7-day effective all week long. And our water tender and our dozer is also fully staffed for the season. We've got 3 patrols, so that's fully staffed as well. And our lookout tower, Siskiyou Bear, is also going to be staffed for the season. We have our overhead, what we call our overhead is our fire leadership on the district. So again, the division chief, the battalion chiefs, and the administrator positions are all filled. And our fuels department, which is not necessarily the department that is tasked with wildfire suppression, but it is tasked more with doing the pieces of the wildfire crisis strategy that we've talked about, which is fuels reduction in the off season. But can very well chip in or pitch in, rather, when fires break out, is also fully staffed. In terms of air support, we do have 1 Type 1 helicopter on Forest that can go anywhere we need it to go, as well as an air taker that comes on board on June 15th. We have an entire smoke jumper crew out of Reading, which are the folks that can parachute in on initial attack and assess what's happening on the ground when fires are small, and 2 fixed-wing aircraft out of Reading as well. So sitting pretty well in terms of the resources that we've got staffed up for the upcoming season. Over to you, Chris.
So the numbers here are for the entire Klamath, not just the 1 unit, because this is Siskiyou County. We are 70% staffed across the forest, which isn't great, but it's not terrible. We've got more engines on 5-day effectiveness than we did last year, but we still have 5 engines that are 7-day effective, which is good. We've got the 1 engine and the water tender that's kind of a backup. We've got our cruiser in good shape. We've got... As you can see, we've got a good prevention squad. The lookouts are in good shape. Lookouts look good. That was part of what we were looking at when we did the flight the other day for damage, storm damages, to make sure that our lookouts were, that we understood what condition our lookouts were in so that we could get folks in there when the fire season started. And we do have some repairs to do. And then you can see our aircraft. And that's one of the things I wanted to talk about, was that we've got 2 Type 3 helicopters, which is different than what we've had before. We've got 1 Type 1 helicopter under contract, and then we've got an air attack plane, as we normally have. So next slide. A kind of a change for us is that we've moved both of our helicopters. We've got 2 Type 3 helicopters. We had a Repel helicopter in Scott Valley. We've moved it to a short haul, and it's been, that helicopter has been through all that
training. This is actually going to happen next year, but we've actually physically moved the helicopter 503 from Happy Camp to Scott Valley. So we've got both of our both of our helicopters at Scott Valley, and they're going to be operating this Type 3 short-haul hover step helicopters, which is a different kind of program. And we're doing that for a variety of reasons, and you can see that it's going to give us more flexibility as far as the crews go. It's going to give us probably better retention as far as bringing staff in and having them stay with the helicopter for a while. It's something that the region is really supportive of because we're short of those kinds of that short haul resource. It's a super base model, and I don't know very much about that. I just learned about it this winter, but it's been pretty successful in other areas. So the Happy Camp helicopter has actually moved to Scott Valley, but we are keeping the Happy Camp heli base open, and we'll move as we need to during the fire season to address local needs down there. So that's kind of a big. That's a big change for us, and I think it's. I feel pretty positive about the flexibility it's going to give us in our program. For a time, kind of early on, so you know we'll see if it has some unforeseen consequences. But that's what I wanted to share with you. Put a clamp on. Fire staffing and our aviation program. And
that leaves you with weather.
All right, next slide, please, and last slide. Thank you. So we'll finish up here with a quick glimpse at the national weather outlook for these upcoming May, June, July, August months. Just kind of intuitively, you can see the colors in the North State are either green, which is going to signify a below normal fire potential, and or clear, which is a normal fire potential moving forward. So for May, June, July, and August, we're looking at either normal or below normal fire potential for our region in general. So that's a good thing. It doesn't mean necessarily that after that we will have a super quiet fire season. One of the consequences of having a wet winter is grasses and other fuels like to grow when the sun comes, and they still dry out when the rain goes away. And so it does increase the fuel loading on our landscapes across the region and across the forest, and so there is still absolute potential for fires later in the season. The benefit, though, is that it's likely to be a shorter season because we will end up, hopefully, getting that fall rain like we get and closing it off without having two epic fire seasons. So we're hopeful for that, and I wanted to kind of share that news with you. So that's the end of our PowerPoint presentation for you. Hopefully, we covered a few of the topics that are of interest to the county and the board. I am personally happy to have the moment to finally get in front of you and meet you. I know that we haven't had a chance, and I've been on Forest for just under a couple of years now. Started in 2021, to give you just a little background about me, and started quite with quite a bang with our 2021 fire season that we all had, only moments after I dropped onto the Forest. My background is in law. Actually, I came from the United States Department of Agriculture General Counsel's office, where I spent 18 years as a lawyer for the Forest Service before becoming the Forest Supervisor. So that's a little about who I am. Happy to be here and answer questions, and as is Chris and Carolyn.
So Mr. Moore, Randy Moore, says he hired you. So he told me.
Right. Yes, he did.
So I think I mentioned, because we did meet. And so how long have you been on as the Forest Ranger for Shasta Trinity?
Just under 2 years now. I started in mid-May of 2021.
So you actually, and this is not, take it for what it is, you're like the first one in 2.5 years. Usually it's like you get a new Forest Ranger and they don't show up here from Shasta Trinity.
Okay.
Klamath is really good about it because they're right here. So thank you for showing up. I hope it's not the last time.
Absolutely won't be.
So we'll go with questions. Supervisor Chris, anything?
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. Thanks for the presentations. The North Coast Resource Partnership is also working on fire resiliency, has a task force on it. Just like to connect you with them.
Okay, yes, absolutely.
Oh, sorry, give you homework already. But yeah, the North Coast Resource Partnership's been working on the fire resiliency for all the reasons that you know, watershed development and communities and those sorts of things. So it might be, and they have a great, on their website, I think it's on their website, we've developed it. It's a great program where it has the maps of the area and the fire risks and those sorts of things that could be a tool with each other for that.
You know, we've got a couple of folks on an interim team, and I'm pretty sure they've been looking at those maps.
Oh, so, good.
Yes. But yes, now we've. Well, now Rachel's got it in her notes, but
I will share.
Yeah, Supervisor Ogden and I happen to sit on that committee as well as on the fire resiliency. So I'm glad I was able to be of some help to you guys. And then for the, I'll talk about fire first. Coordination with the volunteers. I know. Always shortage of water tenders. Just having that one volunteer in that community that can drive a water tender and get it to your engines can make a huge difference. You guys know all this. What's the coordination with like the Fire Chiefs Association of Siskiyou County, or maybe something we need to work on our end? So I'm not putting all the burden on you guys, but the Fire Chiefs Association, CAL FIRE, those guys, volunteers are short as well. I know it's hard to even get those, when you're paying for staffing, it's hard to get people. It's the same for volunteers, but just a handful of coordination between them to make, a difference in initial attack and maintenance.
So this afternoon, we're having our border meeting. So we're meeting with the folks in Oregon and the folks down here, and we'll be talking about that. So I will definitely bring that up specifically. I'm sure I won't have to, but I'll make sure that it's brought up specifically, and we can talk about how to improve communication and whatnot. I feel like because of on the clinic, we put a clinic, but I'm sure it's the same on the Chester Trinity, our folks live in these communities, so they're neighbors, which doesn't mean that they're communicating well, but it means they have the opportunity to. So, but I will bring it up specifically this afternoon in the board.
Thank you. And if you need to follow up with Chief Laws on the spot, either with Chief Laws or us or something, because I'm used to contact the volunteers quite a bit and you guys. Thank you, Mr. Laws, for putting me on the spot. And then with regards to the roads, Ms. Knapper, I know you've worked quite a bit on Esperanza. There's meetings coming up and stuff. If you could just say the investment in the Forest Service support. Sorry, we're out of rank here.
You're fine.
Whoever you want. How you want. I know the Forest Service clear the brush during the fire season to make it as safe as possible. I know it was, I think, a level 2 road originally. At Fulton Creek, we got spoiled with it. You could take a car out there, a low riding car, out to the forest. We were really spoiled on that. And so it's a catch up on Esperanza, but we just want to let us know the investment that you're making this time.
Yeah, thank you, Supervisor Chris. What we're doing now, and it is, you know, as all the roads really got impacted from the 9 or 11 atmospheric rivers that we had in, and as a native surface road, it really fell apart, quite honestly. So we're going to be looking at investing close to $300,000 to rock and to put in 5 culverts, as Supervisor Berkey mentioned. We are working closely with the Homeowners Association, and they have been very helpful. They're willing to contribute funds as well to the extent they can. So we'll continue that. We do know, and I really appreciate all your help, because it's very nice when we can go to these meetings and speak with one voice to the property owners. They're in a pickle. It's you know, so we recognize that, and so I think with your help and the board's help, we're looking for solutions at this point. But we will make that investment. We've been waiting for the weather to improve, and Caltrans is talking about trying to pave the apron from Highway 89 to onto Esperanza. So currently the property owners have a road use permit, so they are able to grade the road to improve the road condition for those low clearance vehicles.
Appreciate your work on that. I know it's a complicated one.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's something simple, but it's...
No, I wish it was, but we look forward to working with you on Friday.
Well, sounds good. Thank you. With that, Mr. Chair, I'll hold it over.
It's a pleasure to see, number one, females, and number two, that you're here and sharing your work with us. Long time ago, I used to work for the Forest Service down in Hapcamp. So, as a mostly fish and wildlife biologist, I know.
Oh, like, no, that's the best place.
Walked a lot of hills, spent a lot of time in the creeks. So I understand what it's like to work out there, and I worked a couple of fires, and I know what that's like too. So I understand what it's like, and now that I'm on the other side of it all. I understand the conflict that happens, and I understand what it's like to not be able to communicate and how difficult it is to communicate and how important it is to communicate and collaborate. So with that, Fire Safe Councils are huge and important and a really great tool for you to work with, and the fact that they have been given so much money right now, like to the tune of close to $10 million to work with fuels reduction and home hardening and any way that you can help, it would be amazing, because that's a huge amount of money in this county to use, and I don't know how we're going to do it. So if you have any suggestions that you can help the Siskiyou Fire Safe Council utilize that money and how they can and where they can, I'm begging you to help them. So if you need contacts or any, you know, people, contacts, anything, reach out to me and I can help you connect with them.
I just wanted to say, for one thing, our prevention lead, Jen Erickson, is, you know, kind of amazing. But so I'm sure she's, I'm sure she is tracking on that. But we are expanding our use of partnerships in a way that I can't even get my head around it. So I think that there's going to be a lot of opportunities to work with the Fire Safe Councils in that arena, which expands our capacity. So you're not just getting bottlenecked into a person or two in the Forest Service, or we'll have partners who are professional at expanding capacity. And I have a lot of hope for that right now. So appreciate what you're saying.
Yeah, so do I.
I just wanted to chime in, Supervisor Ogren. Thank you for that question. For me, the way I think of it is, we can't do this alone, one. And two, it's not just National Forest System lands that need treatment. And so some of the wildfire crisis strategy funding actually does allow the Forest Service to get off of NFS land, National Forest System lands, and start with some of these public-private partnerships, as well as, you know, funding work on our lands. But to the greatest extent possible, particularly on the Shasta Trinity, I am ensuring that we are integrating with our surrounding communities in that wildland-urban interface, our Fire Safe Councils and others that are focused on that precise kind of area is a beautiful pairing with what we're attempting to do with the forest fuels. Because if our forest fuels are treated and then there are fuels that start right on that line, it doesn't do much to reduce the risk to the community. So pieces of our modeling are going to be looking at kind of what additional work does need to get done in that interface that isn't necessarily on NFS lands, and who can we partner with to do that.
Perfect.
So it's a nice opportunity for us to have that look.
Exactly, and those boundaries are so important between private and public land.
Oh, it's absolutely critical, and it is the number one focus of the strategy.
Thank you.
Supervisor Pupsa?
A few things. One, Ms. Knapper, I'll just say, when projects come her way, get out of her way, because she's going to do it. And I can't applaud you and the effort that you do. I mean, 89 is a great example. You're bringing that on the other side now. And, I mean, all of the work that you do is great. So, and to the Mount Hebron folks over on Goose Nest, it's so great to see some of the dead trees or burnt trees coming down, and not just roadside. So look forward to that being reforested as well. The grass effect that you said you're going to have this year, hope that means you're putting out more grazing permits, and nuts to those that would oppose that. You evidently have law background, so push back, because I'm sorry, it's either fire or, you know, grazing. Which do you want? So I would support that. On the military pass road where Mud Creek has flooded that out, it would be great to get a dozer in there to open that road up. It's not paved, it's dirt, but you can't get through there because of the, you know, the flows, but it would be great to open that up just for the recreational benefit. And on Pilgrim Creek Road, or I'll call it now the Esperanza Road, whichever you want to call it, that's not just serving the housing that's up there. I mean, traditionally, that's a logging road for vegetation, logging, whatever removal is going to happen. It's not just a residence, so it's multi-purpose. So I would hope that that would raise the bar on getting that paved, because the old road was paved up until that point. So I appreciate the work that you're doing there, but it would certainly be great to see that paved again. And I will leave it at that. Thank you.
Supervisor Hill?
Welcome. It's been a long time, Rachel.
Fantastic. Nice to see you.
Yeah, we've worked together in different capacities, and someday I keep saying I'm going to get to Reading and have a cup of coffee with you and ask you why in the world you would go from OGC to Atlanta.
You would be most welcome. I'm happy to answer.
I think I asked that same question when we were doing
that. Yes, you did.
I do have a number of questions. So who is the Klamath Basin coordinator right now, or in the future?
Go. I was closest to the microphone. Yeah. The temporary detailed coordinator right now is Patty Grantham.
Okay.
The permanent position is on the streets, set to close this week?
Yeah,
this week?
Very big Friday.
Very soon.
Okay.
And then we'll be looking at the applicants for that.
And do you expect that position to be working more with the county, or is it more internal?
Both. That position is responsible for all pieces of the work on that, the five forest landscape. So communications is going to be one of the key tenets.
Okay. You know, I sat in on the Region 5 breakout at FRC a couple weeks ago, and I understand the gun you're under standpoint of producing something this year and having to carry forward the NEPA that's been in the hopper for quite a while. I mean, the Jess Project, I was a ranger when that was started.
I didn't want to say that.
But, I'm interested more in the out years of process-wise, internally, how you're prioritizing specific projects and what's of critical importance to me, since almost every one of my communities are in close proximity to public lands. I want to know what kind of priority that carries for the money that's going to be spent.
Mm-hmm.
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 Yeah.
Yeah. So, great. Thank you for asking that question. What we are looking at for out years, and circling back to what the beginning of that slideshow talked about, was the science-based approach to these treatments. So what we're currently doing, and we're not finished with it yet, so I don't have a map for you yet, but what we're currently doing is we have engaged with some of our best national modelers and strategic planners in the fireside of the house and in our kind of science branch. And what they're doing is they're modeling the entire footprint of this landscape, which is pretty big, and they are identifying which areas are going to be the most critical, first in terms of location, around our risk reduction to communities priority, as well as in terms of the timing, and then which treatments are going to actually work best in those areas to maximize the effect
that we have on the ground. There are some areas that we could treat all day long, and it's not going to reduce the risk to the community because of what's happening in the community or the topography or what have you. And then there are other areas where even a light touch is going to be a real big impact. So what we are looking for from these scientists is a mapping of what are the treatments that are the right place at the right time, and how are we going to maximize our impact on that ground with the resources that we have. And so that's the look. The strategic out-year look. And we're looking at, you know, roughly a 10-year time frame. We're about a year into it now, and we as the last 11 landscapes came to the party a year late, but we are looking at a 10-year time frame for kind of where should we turn and focus our resources at which point in the stage, and which treatments are going to have the best impact. So that's kind of the out-year planning effort right now.
Okay. I'd like to sit down at some time and look at how we might look at year zero after a fire around the community as modeled this year versus 10 years down the road and how that fits into the prioritization of the landscapes. I appreciate the map, you know, because each one of us up here, I think, are asked constantly for support for grant letters and other things that we're trying to coordinate across different jurisdictions. And it's difficult to do that without knowing kind of where the resource is going.
Yeah, and we absolutely intend to keep the board as a whole apprised as we, you know, kind of come upon these milestones of kind of getting the mapping, getting some of our long-range strategic planning a little bit clearer. And the nice thing about being able to do it this way, and it's unusual because we don't often have a hot minute to step back and take a breath and look landscape-wide at what makes the most sense in terms of kind of scale as well as treatment. And that's what this money is allowing us to do. And then we can start with programs of work, the phrases you're more familiar with, you know, chunking off where we have the ability, where we may have NEPA completed, where we need to focus next NEPA efforts on. But we have a roadmap, so to speak, that will allow us to get the work done at the right scale.
That. I've been working quite a bit with Elizabeth on the stewardship piece. My next question is, you know, every time I push on stewardship, somebody tells me I need to do GNA, the Good Neighbor Authority. Every time I go there, they say stewardship. So help me with this. Which authority is best for us to pursue, or are they combined together in your mind? Because quite frankly, I'm confused.
I'm probably not going to help you. I have more experience with stewardship, so for me that's a simpler route to take, and it's more, I think it's more prescriptive in our regulations, so that sometimes makes it a little easier to find a path. Good Neighbor, I have little experience with. You might be able to talk to Good Neighbor. I mean, we've had good success with Craigie, but it was painful. And I know that just across the border in Oregon, where they have a different state organization, they've had good luck with Good Neighbors. So I think there's a lot of potential there. But I think, I'll speak for the clan, I'll speak for myself, that I would start with stewardship because I think that's more laid out and more familiar. I don't know if it's the best tool at the end of the day. And I'll let Rachel talk about her experience with Good Neighbor. I mean, I will say Craigie's been a tremendous success for us in a lot of ways. So,
okay.
Thanks, Supervisor Haupt. Yeah, I can't go into a side-by-side on the nuances between both, but we did just finish completing a draft of a Good Neighbor Authority agreement with Trinity County. Which is pretty exciting because that's the first time that we have done that with that county. And what that is going to allow us to do is funnel some good chunk of money into kind of a pot that the county can use on county lands and county roads as long as there is a nexus to the National Forest System and benefits the forest system. So it gives the county a little bit more freedom to actually kind of execute on some of their projects. You know, say it's access to a National Forest System trail, but it's along a county road, or something's washed out and the county needs some money to clear the wash or what have you. So we're excited about trying to see how this works with Trinity County and being able to kind of share that responsibility fiscally, even though we generally don't have the authority to work off of National Forest System lands. It gives some flexibility there, which is nice.
Okay, and that's good to hear, because our right-of-ways often are not wide enough to really complete anything from a fuel standpoint, and we do need some kind of partnership with the public lands to be able to increase the width of that, to even reduce the snags that may fall off those.
Yeah.
Two more quick ones here. I haven't seen yet the chief's letter of intent for this year, and this board has a standing resolution to put fires out and not do managed fire until we get our landscapes in place. Is it in a resilient state? And I'm just wondering where the two forests are this year with that.
Yeah, you're right. We have not yet received the chief's letter of intent, and we do follow the national direction when it comes to that and other issues with when it comes to fire suppression. But on the Shasta Trinity, we do intend at this stage of the game to implement a full suppression effort where we can when our fires ignite on our forest. And so we don't. At this stage of the game, we don't utilize, or we're not intending to utilize managed fire. But I want to give you a nuance there, because there are times when it is much, much too dangerous for us to insert firefighters into an area that has ignited. And let's say it's in the middle of a wilderness, for example. There may be moments when the terrain is too steep or the snags are tumbling down on top of them. We will pull our firefighters out for public safety reasons until they can initial attack it safely. So there may be occasions when it looks like we haven't thrown everything in the kitchen sink at an initial start, but that is only because we are concerned about firefighter safety first and foremost. Otherwise, my fire staff has a standing direction from me to fully suppress the fires that have been.
I appreciate that, and thank you for that answer. And I think our board does recognize that it's the managed fire for resource center.
It can be just from the casual observer, it can be a little bit confusing.
Yeah, the climate policy is the same as the Shasta Trinity, with the same remote, steep, rugged terrain.
I want to give a great back. That's my last.
It's all you, my friend.
So what's critical to me about the Greyback Road is it's becoming even more important from an escape route perspective now that the dams are coming up, and we see a reinscribed floodplain that often has Highway 96 underwater. Boats in down the river typically do their business in Oregon.
Yes.
Medical, chopping, that kind of thing. And it, when that road's closed, it's really difficult for them to carry on a normal life, if you will, without having to make a multi-day trip just to do what you and I might do, running downtown. With that said, I did speak briefly with Mayor George a couple weeks ago. I actually congratulated him on the monumental effort he took on to get that road cleaned up on his side. I will say my perspective on the climate side is a little lethargic in the response to that, and I get constant calls from my volunteer firefighters downriver having to go onto the road and clean up snags and things that are falling on the road. And you probably don't even see it because it's taken care of before you even know about it. But that's been a constant headache for the last 2 years. That's consistent. I'm interested in working with the agency any way we can to either address this from a stewardship standpoint of the agency or transfer it to a state system for maintenance. So part of that, I need to know what, from the planet's perspective, since it is a federal highway, you know, it's declared a federal highway, how much money is coming from the Federal Highways Program, to maintain that road, and what priority does it in your road program?
As far as I know, we get no money to maintain that road. I don't know everything. And I did do some asking around before we came here to make sure I was understanding what was going on with Grayback. I would say Grayback is a very high priority for the forest. And I'm a little, I guess I would say, disappointed to hear that we're continuing to have problems, because we really worked hard at trying to get the hazard tree mitigation done.
Yeah.
So yeah. Right after the fire.
Yeah,
so
after the fire. But
yeah,
so if we haven't carried that forward,
I'm glad to hear that, because
yeah.
We didn't do all that work to just walk away and not look back. But it's a very high priority, and I think we are very interested in alternatives to the kind of no alternative that we have right now with the way that the road is managed. And I do understand how important ingress on that road is, and to downriver communities, not just Happy Camp.
Well, we'll see where we go with it.
Okay.
I'm going to keep pushing on it. Unless things have changed, two roads on the Klamath got federal highway money for maintenance. One was Highway 12,
mm-hmm.
and the other was Grayback.
We did some resurfacing in 2020, right before the Slater fire, and that may have been federal highways, but I am unaware of a flow of money.
Follow up with me then.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I'd be interested.
Thank you.
All right, so I'll keep my comments brief since we need to move on, but
yeah.
I'll just say this, you know, roads are so critical to the whole operation. You know, Ski Park Highway is critical. It's one of the things, I know tourism is such a big factor of the Forest Service now. Not logging, like, you know, it's kind of almost equal or flipped, if you will.
True, yeah.
The other piece to it, you know, something that it just came to mind, you know, one of the things that we were up against as a board, you know, we have 5 forests, national forests in Siskiyou mm-hmm. County. A lot of my peers, the counties, they have 1. It's a lot easier to deal with 1 than 5. And so, you know, and I know within that there's complexities in how do you allocate the resources or whatever. So, Ms. Knapper, thank you so much for staying in touch. She's always been very responsive. And I would say the longest tenure Forest Ranger I've gotten to deal with, so I appreciate that. Don't go anywhere, Carolyn. We got to get that Ski Park Highway repaved and or Everett Memorial. And I think, so I'm glad to hear that we're making progress, because as you, Ranger Knapper would know, you know, we have very concerned citizens down there about the access to the road, as Supervisor Cops would agree with. So thank you for showing up. It won't be once every 2 years. I'm going to be, even if I have to request and come back. So, you know, it's got to be a regular thing, particularly as how we are doing and making progress. I would say Grayback Road, you know, to me, that is, you know, that's as a higher priority, if not more evacuation. So keep that in mind. Thank you. We're going to take a break. I hope you stick around. I know Supervisor Chris may have a follow-up question. Wendy, how long do you need?
Half hour? Minutes.